All right.
Yeah, I think
Anyway.
I'm a little more sensitive than you are, though.
No, I'm sensitive. I'm sensitive. I just think you can be surprised sometimes. It's kind of
No,
less
yeah,
about
you're right.
like,
You're right.
it's not a, it's not like a, like Shebs would be like, yo, whatever, just do it. Like, you know, my thought is more like, you never know, you
Yeah,
know?
that's true. That's true.
Sometimes you know.
Yeah, sometimes you know, though. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just know.
You think we should start doing the podcast? I know the intro, but you know, do you think we should start doing a version of the podcast where it's just we talk, and then it's like, hey, you know, like some pods are just like, yeah, you know. So I think Mark Maron does that where he's like, yeah, you know. So I needed to get like a new
Yeah, I think we need to
radiator,
do.
and
I think we need to do cold
well,
opens. Yes.
and yeah, I think
Or you just kind of
yeah, you're
like,
just
you just kind of catch up the audience of what's going
yeah,
on
you're like
anyway.
talking, and then they like the producer just kind of shadily hits record, and then you just go like, you know, you're like, yeah. So I don't know. I told her
Like,
like
oh, we're
I'm
recording?
not ready now, but like maybe in the future. Anyway, guys, hey, welcome to the Community Wrestling
Okay.
Podcast. You know what I mean? Actually, let's just do that for this one. No.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have to say it. I was going to
We
do
just
it.
did it. Yeah.
Oh, well, did I just blow it?
Yeah.
Well,
Ready
now it's
and music.
lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Wow, do you hear those COVID-free lungs, baby? Welcome to the comedians of COVID.
That's not
The comedians of
it.
wrestling. The comedians of wrestling podcast. The comedians of welcome to the what's it? The comedians of podcast?
Comedians of podcast. It's a
The
better
comedians
name anyway.
podcast. Feeds a wrestling podcast, the podcast comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. You know the rest of it. Right now, look, let's not we, you know, I'm Dan Black, the funniest podcaster in the motherfucking universe. If you turn off my podcast, you know what the consequences are. I'll fucking kill you. Plus, I'm the comedians of wrestling heavyweight champion. The title's right over here. I'm not even showing it to you, peons. Okay. Anyway, look, update on my COVID, as the listeners know. And we have, you know, we, you know, you guys, you can check them. I got a lot of messages from you guys. I appreciate it. A lot of the messages were, thank God we didn't go to the show, the live show, which was very funny. That was a very funny thing to say, you know, very hurtful to my ego. But no, thankfully I had COVID. I'm now out of quarantine. I got to see my family. I had been at a the Days Inn and Woodbury, Long Island, very close to the breeding ground of one MJF, a Maxwell Jacob Freedom, Freedom, Maxwell Jacob Freedom, MJF, and that's the Patriot version, you know.
Remember
But
the
anyway,
Patriot? Didn't he die recently?
Mel Gibson.
The guy, yeah, the Patriot, the movie The Patriot. That's how I refer. I'm
Is
like,
that a Heath Ledger joke? Was that a
I'm my
Heath Ledger
grandma.
joke?
I'm my grandma. I refer to actors by the name of the movie they've been in. Whatever happened to Apocalypto?
That's so funny. You're like, yeah, good. You know the actor Goodfellas?
Yeah, there's that's a it's a star-studded cast, Grandma. I don't know which one you're referring to.
That's the nasty one, Nasty Newman, Alex Newman-Hagen, who's
How about
in
it?
Dahezy. We got the smooth operator who, to be honest, he for this episode, because I don't have the soundboard, I don't have all my equipment. You can tell the sound quality is not as good because I'm coming out of quarantine. I wasn't allowed to fly. Eat my ass if you have a problem with that. What do you want from me? Okay. And but smooth, I think Phil Passmani is like, you know, the drummer in the More Than Words video. Is
No.
this an
Oh,
obscure reference?
yes, I do. Yes. Where they're all, it's like kind of like they're in like a blank studio and a guy, and like, yeah.
So there's no drums in that song.
Yeah.
So the drummer's just reading the paper in the background while there's in the. If you go watch that video, I think it's what's it, Extreme is the band
Yeah.
that sings that. So the you know it's like saying I love you is not the words, and then the fucking drummer's just in the back reading paper, and it's their only hit. So that
It's a cover
drummer,
too, right?
I don't. Is it a cover? I don't think
Yeah,
it's a cover.
I think it's a cover.
You want to, Phil? Do we want to give them a taste? Yeah. There. Yo, he's holding a lighter up, right? Like he's, this
I
guy
mean,
is a.
that's.
It's a full goof. But little does he know. Little does he know. By the way, it's a wrestling podcast. Little does he know that the goof of this video is not what he thinks is funny. it's the haircuts and the style of the guys in hindsight.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a hat on a hat. You know, I mean, it's
another. Wait a minute. This is like, why does it look like, go back to that. Yeah. I mean, these guys could be guys. These could be guys now. Like, they don't look at all like it's the '80s or nineties. And then even the drummer.
Oh yeah, I guess you're kind of right.
Is just like these a normal have, dude.
These guys have came back around. These
styles, like, look right? at this guy sitting. This guy's sitting down. The drummer is. This is like 2010.
Newman,
you're like, what the fuck? He has a beard.
That's a good call. The drummer just looks kind of like a hipster.
Yeah,
like a modern day hipster.
Yeah, he looks like he gaslights women.
We all do, don't we, folks?
No, we don't. You're just being crazy.
Do you guys? Well, I have a couple things to say. I mean, while we're on this, I'll say this: have you ever seen Fallon and Paul Rudd like remake videos sometimes?
No, that's boomer shit.
Yeah, it's definitely boomer. It's definitely a bit boomer. Okay.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not gonna. No comment on Fallon. Whatever. I don't want to get into it. It is kind of funny. They recreate videos to a T. There's no joke other. There's no joke other than it's just a perfect recreation of it.
Right.
And I kind of appreciate that there's no actual joke there other than like, let's just use NBC's resources. It'd be funny to just copy this video, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, there is something funny too when something, when the joke is like how perfect it is.
The joke's then, just like, this is excellent, you know?
Yeah.
Phil, do we have that queued up? Should we see that?
No, I wasn't queuing it up. What are we looking for?
All right, Phil. Well, because Phil is holding a lighter up currently.
Yeah, sorry. I was reading the paper.
Yeah, that's true. He's reading the paper. Well, we know Phil can read, folks. Anyway.
I don't know what you planned on starting with. Just
look at the pictures.
I had some stuff, but it's hilarious because I have so much stuff out of the ring that I'm interested in, like the tipping thing you were just talking about. I thought that was funny.
Well, yeah. What's that?
Where were you going to go? Go where you were going to go.
I was going
to
say
Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling because I wanted to start with – I have something to say about Patreon, but go.
I mean, I just want to know when we're going to talk about Malachi Black.
It's on my list, obviously, because of I have two things to
say. You muted yourself.
I just muted myself. You know what? Because frankly, do we need to hear from men anymore? You know what I mean? Let's take a mute moment of silence for the patriarchy. Hold on. All right. We got it.
For now, the patriarchy?
Yeah, for the patriarchy. Fun fact. Okay, because I'll say this because there's no video of the match because it's like one of the things like I'm so fucking mad about it. I got COVID and the video guys didn't show up. Right. Like, I hope you guys, it's like hilarious. Like how much I put into doing this shit sometimes. And then you're like, just fuck me. Like, let me just go like be an accountant and that's it. Because then, right. You know what I mean? You're like, I can't even handle it. I do have some video, but it's like, it's so far. I don't even want to post it. It looks like shit. It's like from phones. You know what I mean? So yeah. I have some spots, but one thing I did at the end of the match, I was like, I won. And then I dedicated the match to all the men. I dedicated the match to men.
Yeah.
And I just improvised it. You know, like I just like, was like, I dedicate this match to all the men, like every man. And I was like, what a fucking hilarious thing I did that I don't have on camera, you know?
Yeah. Hey, man. How many things have you done in that very basement that are hilarious and have not been on camera ever? So,
yeah, that's actually where I've been the funniest. Yeah. In a world of digital, like just because I'm a moron.
Yeah.
the amount of actually what it was described to me as, I told you this before, but what's his name? I forgot his name right now because of COVID. Probably a COVID brain, but very hilarious improviser. I'll remember his name in a second. But he said improv is like throwing diamonds into the ocean. Okay. And then now I want to take that a step further and say that UCB was like throwing diamonds into the ocean.
Yeah. I would say improv is more like throwing everything into the ocean.
Yeah,
every now and then there's a diamond involved.
Oh, for anyway. Oh yeah, that's also true, right? Yeah. It's also the truth. Like it was all beautiful. Like it's also part of the gift is that none of it was actually
99% of it is bad.
Yeah, none of it was on display in De Beers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Oh, folks. Yeah, but I dedicated what I won. I was like, this is to all the men out there. I thought this, it surprised me. Even sometimes I do something where I go like, yeah, that was so funny, because I'll be hard on myself. And then I go, what a funny thing to do. Pin a woman after cheating. Dolph Ziggler. Wait, you guys didn't see. I might as well just describe the match because I don't have video of it. It's like, she was going to win, right?
Yeah.
And then I grabbed the mic. I begged her not to give me like a shining wizard. I was on my knees and I started kissing her feet.
Hot.
And I started saying like, yo, I'm sorry I act like this because I've just been hurt so many times in the past, you know, like, and it makes me this monster, but I'm not proud of who I am. And then Dolph Ziggler kicked her over my kneeling body. It was such a great finish that I have no video of, you know?
Right. None at all. Not even like bootleg cell phone.
Maybe.
Shots.
I think I might have a bootleg shot of it. But like, whatever, guys. I'm like saying what it was here because it's like, because fuck me, you know?
Right.
I'm coming off COVID. I need it, you know? But anyway, this being said, it's like, and then I pinned her and then dedicated the match to all men. And then Ziggler. This is what he does everything. He did it in Vegas also. Ziggler like whispers in my ear at the finish, like, yo. Like when Tula went through the table, he was like, yo, he's gotta go back to the table, you know?
Right.
So after I win, he's like, she's gotta like DDT us or something. We can't just like win this match and go out arms held high. I'm thinking we're gonna Empire Strikes Back the thing. You know what I mean? He's like, Ziggler's like such a pro. He whispers to me, like, and I'm like, okay. And he's like an actual WWE ref. Cause then he's like, all right, she's in. She's gonna hit me first and then you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we have these moments and I'm like, oh, this is, I get real insight into like being a wrestler, you know? Like,
right. What did he go over to her? And then
went up to her and was just like, all right, you're going to hit both of us, Dan first. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, Dan first, DDT, set of kick, like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
So then like, that's it. Then she hit us like on the spot. It was very fun.
Oh, awesome.
And then, yeah, very fun. It was a great time. That being said, plan for this. I don't know what the deal is yet, but likely it's looking very certain that we will have a Rumble show, which would be in St. Louis. Way more details to come soon. But if that's something you're thinking about going to the Rumble, if you're, anyone's thinking about going to the Rumble, like we should have a show and it will be
in St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay. With Ziggler. But it's gonna be way more organized than our New York show because the New York
branching
show
out to tertiary markets. I see.
Listen, the amount of emails I got from
Donnie Las Vegas. L.A., New York City, St. Louis.
You just lost us a listener. I want to talk about the Patreon for a second. Patreon.com/MeesWrestling. You get access to our bonus episodes. Last week, we did Dynamite, which I thought was a great time. I mean, I have one question for you guys. Should I allow Shebs back on Dynamite?
Yeah, why not?
Oh, you had no problem with his behavior. Phil, any problem with Shebs' behavior on Dynamite?
I think it just has bad tech sometimes.
Okay. All right, cool, good. I was just checking. He came a little hostile in there, said the two best wrestlers in the world are Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar.
I mean, I also want to say that, like, I invented Dynamite, so, like, I feel like I'm the one who decides.
Okay, you decide.
Also, maybe have decider. A discussion about how you, like, monetized our hangout.
We've had that discussion, and Dan ignored me totally and completely.
Okay, first off, we don't have to record Dynamite again. We were in Quar, so you guys all said it was fine, okay?
Okay.
No more recording Dynamite, fine. All right?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, let's go to Malakai Black.
We're just going to continue to have Man Page without you then. We can record Dynamite, but Man Page is off limits.
Wait, what's Man Page?
You wish you knew.
Is Man Page? What is this? Man Page? Is this when you guys fucking watch Adam Page?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Rampage. It's Rampage. Oh, man, go, I'm bud. So dumb. Oh, Aaron. My God.
You got it.
Did you guys watch Rampage last night without me?
Maybe we didn't.
Answer the question. Did you watch Rampage without me?
I mean, literally, yes.
I didn't watch it. I wasn't there.
It was just me.
Where were you, Phil? Were you on a date?
No, I was on mushrooms.
Okay, on a date with God.
yeah, exactly. Date with myself, who is God.
Oh, I love that right. for you. I love that for you. All right, let's jump into talking about Malachi Black here.
Pull up the picture, Phil, please. Look at this fucking guy, dude.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is 99% of what...
Is that me in Vegas, or is that...
That's
is that
you me wish. In- you wish. This is 99% of what it takes to be a great wrestler. Do you look awesome in a fucking photo? Like, you could... Like, it's the Fiend effect, right? Like, how many people, like, right. Look at the Fiend, and they go, oh, what's this, right? You show a picture of somebody like Bryan Danielson... They're not going right. to have that reaction, regardless of how good we know that he is. Even Kenny Omega, to some extent, you're not going to have that reaction unless he's in like some crazy getup. No. This guy gets it. Look at this fucking shot.
So to describe the photo for people, you can see this on YouTube, by the way. Yeah. All our pods are on YouTube, by the way, which I never say, but I should. It's Malachi entering, but he's wearing the essentially what he copied from me is the elk mask, but it's an elk skull, right?
Yeah. Or like, well, it's Chernunos, the is it deer god? Yes, kind of.
It's a bongo skull, and and it's a bongo skull. He's wearing a bongo skull, but they got the red light in the mist, and it's just his arms look great. You can see the tats. It's like perfectly lit for him to look. It's extremely cinematic, which whenever you can capture that in wrestling, it's extremely it's very difficult because it's a live show.
Right.
So when you get what the Fiend and Malachi, who are probably the only two I can really think of who fully really done it, you know, to the point where Bray Wyatt's now in a movie, you know,
he is,
they're shooting it right now.
Oh
yeah. He's in a horror movie right now. That's being shot. That's why he hasn't shown up in wrestling.
Oh, you know? Good for him.
Yeah, yeah. There's actually, you can look up what it's called and stuff, Phil. Can we get the details of the movie he's shooting?
Watch him like blow up.
It's not even, that wouldn't even be surprising. Right. First off, who has the charisma, chops, and look of him? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's could easily do what Batista has done in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, Batista has good guy appeal and bad guy appeal. Bray, I think, is fully locked into the bad guy side.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
The owner of the studio called the movie Ichi the Killer meets Xanadu, which Ichi the Killer is one of my favorite movies.
Xanadu, you mean?
Xanadu?
Yeah, yeah.
Xanadu?
Yeah, Xanadu. What did I say?
Xanadu? You're telling me you're not a huge fan of Olivia Newton-John, my guy?
Nope.
You're not a fan of roller skating lights, like light beams that roller skate?
It's kind of like Lisa Frank in the movie, right?
Really never.
Is what Xanadu is?
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Unless you want to do mushrooms again, wait to watch it.
I think that's one of those like it's so bad it's good kind of things, Xanadu,
yeah,
right?
It's like a disco cocaine fever, the movie. I've never done cocaine or dance disco.
So can we talk about Malachi for a second?
Yes.
First off, there's another thing you have to tell everybody about your status.
Oh, that I am now officially a member of House Black. I purchased the Chernonus medallion on his website.
Yeah.
I expect it to give me all kinds of arcane powers, possibly, you know, telepathy, telekinesis, mostly moving things with my mind, killing people with my mind, making people sick with like a black, this is it right here.
Okay, well, you have like, can you read minds of anybody? Oh, there it is. Wow, for the small price of $34.99, you can join the House of Black.
$24.99. Get your eyes.
Oh wow, it's even cheaper. Yo, would you wear that? You'll wear that to like a party?
Here, maybe.
Oh, the pause. That pause was brilliant.
Because I mean, look.
We went to some parties together. Would you have worn any of those parties we went together in the past like couple months? Would you have worn that too?
Honestly, it depends on the rest of the fit. like it depends on what I could put together to make that work. It also depends on the length of the chain. I might have to get a different chain to like shore it up a little bit. I'm not like a fucking dangly boy, but like,
you're not a dangly boy.
No, there is a world in which I wear that.
Tulo's a bit of a dangly boy, right?
He's a thick boy down low.
great callback.
So I mean, I would there's like a 70% chance I'll wear that outside of a wrestling scenario.
Yeah. You should put on one of these like thick ball chains like this.
That's what I'm saying.
Super new metal, you know?
Yeah.
Even tighter, like a choker, you know?
Right. I gotta start wearing rings and stuff.
Yeah.
Wear like big relax fit shirts. Become a himbo. Yeah. But no, I would wear it. I would wear it in public. It just depends on the rest of the fit and the context. But I mean, this guy, who do you think, have you been following anything? I've been doing a lot of extracurricular research on Malachi and this character and where I think he's going.
I saw what he did. I saw him, you know, missed a Palooza on Rampage.
Right.
I saw him missed. And I had a lengthy discussion about him on the text chain, but I don't really dive deep into lore stuff like you do. That's not like how but I love that. I love when you explain it to me.
So basically he's been posting about this like Chernonus, this like pagan god called the horned god, who is a representation of pure masculinity. He is just masculinity because his counterpart is the moon, which is pure femininity.
Okay.
And they exist they're two separate things, but comprise the whole of everything. Right.
Right.
So this character is, frequently framed as like literally the Antichrist in like Christian text. And as far as like cohorts, like I was trying to figure out who his like partners are going to be in the House Black, because I think he's bringing two more people.
Did he say that? Because you guys were talking about that in the text chain. Where did he say that?
Well, he posted a picture of like three figures in the woods, and like one of them was floating wearing horns, and then there was two other ones. One was kind of big, one was kind of small.
Right.
And so the first, I mean, he's obviously, I think, the one floating wearing the horns because it looks exactly like him. And then Brody King is probably the big guy. I was thinking that the little one would have been, might be even Pac, because
he just spit on him, right?
Right, and he spit that in his eye, and it like took his eye.
And he had the eye patch. Do you think that was an homage to his end of WWE run?
I mean, maybe, but I think more so it's this. So he then posted a video on Instagram of him pulling tarot cards, and the first one that he pulled was the Hanged Man, which I think represents him, Alistair or Malachi,
right?
Because he had that arcana on the back of his vest in NXT, and then he pulled the Fool, who I think
the Fool's the first card in the deck. It's like the beginning of life,
right? And so after he took out, or either at the same time or after he took out Pac's second eye, he pulled the Fool. But the Hanged Man represents like self-sacrifice. And so that was him. And then I think the Fool is going to be whatever relates to Pac, and then I don't know how he's going to bring Brody King in. But I mean, the point is this. When was the last time that like we've had this kind of like conversation about the lore of
the character? Fiend.
Besides the Fiend, nothing. Never.
Never. It's the Fiend. No, never. Well, I've never seen you this excited about this kind of shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Because it's not. Because I know that it's not for nothing. Like I know that it's not just random shit that's happening. I know that it's planned, and there are beats that he's trying to hit, and there is an idea that he's trying to get across. And so I'm trying to dissect it and figure it out, like it's any other TV show. You know?
Okay. So I. Oh yeah. Go, can I? I don't want to interrupt you.
Go for it.
Here's my thing. When we were on the text chain with Tulo, who, by the way, he had one ridiculous. And by the way, I think it's ridiculous, but I think it's a compliment to Tulo's supermarkness. He has such a optimism about like wrestling writing. Right? You know what I mean? That like he said something, it was like, oh, I think he's doing like an because he's only working with NXT champions or whatever.
Right.
It's like, you think he was booking that? I was like, bro, come on, man. You think he's like, I only want to work with NXT champions. Like, no wrestler has control over their booking like that. And that's such a, that'd be, Tony would be like, I really don't have time to like manage my talent around that. Right? Right. Or wrong. Yeah, but I love, I mean, that Tilo thinks that, and it's very fun. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that I think that I'm not sure. It's okay if having him team with Andrade for some reason and do this is the, it's okay if it's just bad writing. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay if they just didn't, if they didn't figure it out and they just did it, that's fine.
Yeah.
AEW can afford to do that sometimes.
Look, they have, the way AEW works, part of their charm, okay, and what they get right is they don't really force anything. You know, they have the feuds that they really invest TV time in, and you, and get you really sold on the match and the feud, and then they work around it, and then they fill a lot of the rest of TV with just like awesome spot fests and matches that go for wrestlers' records, so they matter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it is, in my mind, Malakai's in a place where they're like, we don't really have a set program for you yet, and they don't want to give him a half shine, which is kind of what WWE did to him, especially when you have a talent who's so big and deserves, like, proper moment. Like, it's just not his time right now. Right. So that's more of what I see, and I think that's okay, especially because the trust of us with the AEW product is still intact. Right. Where, you know, like, no one is feeling like they're gonna just fuck him like WWE did, right?
Right.
Like, we all at this point believe Tony Khan knows like what he has with Malakai, and when he has the moment for him, which might be as soon as after this Daniel Bryan feud is over, like, he might just missed Paige after that match, you know?
Right.
And then you'll get a full on Malakai program, like, with proper headline attraction, you know? But instead, what they're not doing is having a bunch of meaningless titles, you know?
Right.
So I think Malakai's in that zone. Here's my thoughts on Malakai. My concern, okay, with him. First off, I would say this. I would rank him as the most exciting wrestler right now. I think we talk about him the most. I think that because he was also in that really sweet spot of like, he has not hit his potential like a lot of other talents have, like a Daniel Bryan or like a Hangman Page or like, I mean, I guess Hangman Page is more to go, but he's thriving. He's at the top. He's the champion. He is one of these guys who it's like, you're actually waiting to see what he can do still.
Right.
You know, like, honestly, like, we know what he can do, but we haven't seen his, he has, for the amount we know what he can do compared to the lack of moments this guy has had.
Right.
I think he's probably the most that, which I don't know what you call that character. It's like, right. Yet to break out. Like, if it was like an award show.
Yet to be
on the side of a production truck.
Exactly.
That's a good barometer for wrestling. Right.
Right. Like a star hiding in plain sight or something. Right.
Right. I mean, I think
my concern is that if this has to happen in 2022, like it's been like long enough waiting to like, for like Alistair to come out of his shell, you know, to like be like, here's the culmination of this work. Like, we blamed Vince for holding him back, and now he's here, and it's like, it's time. And like, if I'm him, I even quit AEW if they're not going to give him the proper rub in 2022. Like, go to Impact or go somewhere where you can like execute this vision already.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously those places, he won't be able to do it. You know what I mean? But like, I'm ready to see like the full thing, you know?
I mean, I agree, but only because like, I want Malakai Black to be as ubiquitous on AEW as The Undertaker was in WWE from like 1999 to, you know what I mean? Where it was just every goddamn SmackDown, there was a Undertaker fucking tag team match or something, you know, not obviously that corny, but like, I want him to be the main guy.
Well, here's what leads me to my next point, which is like, one thing I was thinking about with the AEW product is they have no like Kevin Owens shows. They have no like cutting edge or like whatever Jericho's was like the I forgot what Jericho's moment was called, right? Like, they don't have, like, segments like that. Not that they need to do that exactly. And probably those are too corny for the product, you know?
Yeah.
But Alistair's an interesting guy where I wouldn't mind seeing, I really wouldn't mind seeing something like that from him, you know, like where people like sit in a circle in the ring and listen to him or something, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think that we could use some of the stuff he's doing on TV, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
like, I don't think AEW should be afraid, because that 20-minute segment of Punk MJF was just a mic segment there. And we all talked about it, loved it.
Right.
It's okay for them to, they don't need to be, I don't know if they are, but they don't need to be scared of slowing the action down for a second to build, you know?
True. Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's a little bit like, throw a guy in commentary, but make sure there's action happening in the ring. And they're like a little, it reminds me of me when I used to be like, you got to entertain all the time. You got to entertain all the time. And you realize like sometimes like the silence in those moments are necessary to build tension, like to have those peaks and valleys, you know?
It's jazz, baby.
It is jazz, baby. It's a little beep, 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 boom, 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 boom. I watched Whiplash on my flight to New York again. I told you that, I think, on here.
Yeah.
That's a fucking incredible movie, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm a sucker for all those movies. Black Swan, Whiplash, they're essentially the same movie.
Yeah.
one's like the girl version and one's the guy version. Like, he's a musician and then... And then she's a ballerina. And then there's La La Land, which is the combo of those two movies.
I don't
is that how like Fast and the Furious is just Point Break, but with cars?
Yes, exactly.
But isn't in, not to be too pedantic, but like isn't in Black Swan, the core issue is that like she's like being replaced by this other dancer, or she feels like this other dancer is becoming her. And then in
Whiplash, the main thing is that Paul Reiser's his father. Right. That's his main struggle. He's like, it's so tough. It's
What are you playing the drums for?
By the way, I love Paul Reiser.
Oh, yeah. Remember Mad About You?
I did. Paul Reiser, I was watching the Kaminsky Method. We talked about it here. Yeah. He had a scene that actually made me kind of cry, to be honest. Wow. Like, he plays this ridiculous character. Mm-hmm. It's like this Chuck Lorre show. It's fine. It's okay. He has this one scene where, like, they put him in this ridiculous bald cap, whatever. And he gets up. Paul Reiser's, like, kind of, like, goofy in the show. And it's a little bit like what you would never think this part. It's like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he has this one moment where he just like, turns it on and you're like, wow. You're good, bro. You're good. well, we all know I have a sensitive spot for any of these shows that are about Hollywood and failing. So, So, I mean, look, Malachi is the man. I mean, it is what it is. We got to jump to.
He muted himself again.
I muted myself for the patriarchy. Andrade and Charlotte Flair broke up, apparently, but are they saying it's a work now?
I cannot believe it's not a work.
Right.
Because, like, I feel like if. Go ahead.
They're like an inspiration. I can't have that not be a thing anymore.
There's no way. There's no fucking way.
That they broke up?
Yeah.
They are the it couple, right? Like,
Becky
and Seth are not the it couple anymore.
No, it's not. It's no way that they broke up and that we heard about it. You know what I mean? Like, if they did actually break up, it would be. Why would we hear about it this soon?
Right.
She's a Flair. It's all work.
Okay. Well, because then on the other side of it, I was reading this quote that, like, I guess Ric Flair talks shit about Becky. Did you see that?
Also a work.
Did you see that, though?
Yes.
What did he say?
Let me look it up. I don't memorize his fucking tweets.
This shit's pretty fun, though.
Yeah, I just don't memorize his tweets. Let me see.
Did we talk about, while you look that up, did we talk about Becky's Scarlet Witch gear?
No. Was it supposed to be?
You didn't notice it, the red gear?
I mean, I didn't make the connection.
I mean, here's the deal. It's obviously cosplay. I would say it's a good example of a more subtle cosplay, even though to be fair, it's not that subtle at all. It looks exactly like Scarlet Witch, but there's no logos on it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like Gargano used to literally wear like an Iron Man costume. I fucking hated it. I stick by it. Literally just like, you know, like a Wolverine with the three slits in it. Right. You're like, how is that a character? You're
right.
It's my nephew wears the same thing that this wrestler creating a character comes to the ring. I'll never, ever, ever think cosplay is good. That one, though, was such fire gear. She looked so fucking beautiful, you know, and amazing coming to the ring. You know, I just wanted to make a quote. Like, every time I see this gear, there's been a lot of posts of it. I'm like, wow, Becky looks fucking awesome. You know? Women's division in general, by the way, in WWE. Yeah. I just want to say, in WWE in general, all those women's looks are so fire right now. I mean, they are beautiful women also, so fine. Take it, Swampy. But also, I just mean, like, in terms of looking like wrestlers, like when I've said so much on here, like looking like a wrestler, it's like Ziggler and the women's division. Am I wrong?
Right, right, right.
You know? Because I think it's like we're talking about – I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you on this. But, like, we're talking about Malakai, right? And so, like, Malakai, it's like – when I think about the two kinds of wrestlers I like really basic shit.
Right.
Or go for it. And like the in-between is where you lose me, you know? So like when a wrestler just like randomly has like, he's like who has like gear where I'm like, what is this? It's like, it's like a little like, yeah, you add something where it's like a little too much. Like if you have like armbands,
right,
and then like pants that have like too much, that have nothing to do with your gimmick or anything. I'm like, Stone Cold just wore like black trunks and a vest, and then he wrestled in literally like create a player spandex black, you know?
Right.
Like The Rock had just the Brahma Bull on his butt. Ever Randy Orton's wearing the same trunk design, which are his tattoos, his entire career, you know?
Right. Right.
I don't understand why some guys don't really get that, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's I mean, it's probably it's an ideology, right? It's like they probably Randy Orton and Stone Cold probably fancy themselves as sort of like wrestlers. And so they just wear the wrestler thing. Right. And then that's it. Right. But the other guys are like, I'm a dragon demon. So
yeah, like I feel like it's like there's so much like let your like personality do so much of the work. But then there's guys like if you're going full warrior, like go full warrior. That's like face paint, full character, tassels, juice to the gills, as tan as possible. Sometimes your face paint also on your chest.
Right, right.
Like I think warrior, what is my Mount Rushmore of wrestling? I mean, it's 100% warrior. My personal Mount Rushmore.
It's just four warriors.
Ultimate Warrior, Stone Cold, The Rock, and then like Goldberg. Like, I mean, it's like,
So this is what Ric Flair said on Twitter. Yeah. I think, oh, by the way, every first letter in every word is capitalized. Like it's the name of a play. I think I'm going to have to make the trip personally to see you beat the piss out of Miss Charlotte. I don't think so, sister. The man, big time Bex or whatever you call yourself. There's not enough choreography in the business to save you. That's not even mean.
Oh, see, this is so okay. So this is just
no. But then he said something else too. He said,
"So disappointed. I did this out of respect for you. It made you millions. It made me nothing. After 40 years of being the man, the company doesn't own it. Neither do you. I will always be the man. Ask your husband." Again, though, that's
also work stuff.
That smacks work stuff.
Yeah,
that's work stuff. And that's the thing is like, yo, I watched the Becky Charlotte before their Survivor Series match. I watched their what was it called? It was like not day of, but it was called something like the lead up, the lead or something. No, that's Jake Tapper. no, like whatever it was called, and it was so clearly worked, and people were like, "Do you think these guys really hate each other?" I was like, not from this. Like I'm not a moron. Like this is like so clearly like they're not saying anything offensive, you know? Like they're saying like I don't like her attitude. I'm gonna smack her. It was like nothing.
No.
So anyway, Becky's comments were pretty cool. But look, if Ric Flair is upset about the man thing, like, he's got every right to be upset by it, right?
No, like, I mean, no, I don't think so. No. I don't think so. No. Ric Flair
was the man. Like, his whole thing was, I'm the man.
No, his whole thing was, if you want to be the man, you have to beat the man. He didn't walk around calling himself the man.
Yeah, but
there's a big difference.
That sentence implies he's the man.
I don't care about implication. This is wrestling. It's all in the fucking, it's not in the subtext, baby. It's all right up front. If you're not saying, I am Ric Flair, if he's not saying, I am Ric the man Flair, he can fuck himself sideways. That's not his thing.
Ric Flair has the best. He has that promo where he's dissing his opponent, who's he wrestling? Garvey or something, whatever. And he's like, you will come here with that golden retriever you call a woman. You're like, oh my God.
Right.
First off, it's so insulting, but calling a woman a golden retriever is so interesting because it's like, I guess it's a dog, but it's like such a beautiful dog.
It's a beautiful dog. Right? Yeah.
It's a friendly.
It's such a beautiful dog. They're like, it always stuck with me. Like, golden retriever, you call a woman. You know, it's something I never forget.
In that Alasa Opso, you call a woman?
Yeah. In that silverbacked, very rare, beautiful, like gorgeous maned, nutrient dense haired horse, you know, stallion. You know what I mean? Like, most of the time you insult somebody, you say like an ugly thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, it's a dog, but it's like a dog known to be like one of the most gorgeous. Like, I see like a golden retriever, I'm like in awe of it, you know? A beautiful dog.
That beautiful dog that won the Westminster dog show 2 years in a row.
Here's what I'm saying. If someone came up to like my lady and was like, wow, you have the hair of a golden retriever. it's definitely insulting, but you know, it's like, well, you know, it would be a curb app. Like, that would be a curb scene, right?
Yeah. Oh, she's beautiful. Larry, she's beautiful. She has the hair of a golden retriever.
And then you go back to the table, and it's like, well, he loves golden retrievers. I mean, you're like, yeah, but it's a dog. Nobody loves golden retrievers. You know what I mean?
Oh man.
Well, if we're on the misogyny tip, let's just follow that.
For the patriarchy.
Yeah, for the patriarchy. The moment of silence for the patriarchy. Moment of silence for War Games, by the way, while we're at it.
That happened, right?
I have no idea.
Or is it tonight? It's tonight.
it's tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's Rick Steiner versus, I think it's Gargano Ciampa wrestling again. Who knows? It's going to be Iron Man versus whatever.
I like that Braun Breaker.
Yeah, Braun Breaker's clearly got a lot of potential. He's like 23. He's exactly what Vince wants NXT to be. Like, he's got the
face.
Guy.
He's got the face reactions going.
That guy's really good.
Seems like a badass.
I was saying, do you think that Punk is setting up for a feud with Adam Cole with all this Britt Baker stuff? Because I'm like, they're perfectly positioned for Cole to come out and just be like, I don't really like the way you talk about my girl, you know?
And people
are going to pop for that. Be like, you trying to fucking bang my girl or something? Like, what's going on here?
Because
you see that Punk put on the Britt Baker jacket?
No, did I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's wearing her, like, dental jacket.
Oh,
you know, like,
shit.
Yeah. It's like, that's a really interesting spot.
I thought
he should just come out and he should go, yes. He should just say yes.
He should go.
She's too good for you.
You know what I mean? Are you trying to fuck my girl?
Yes. Yeah. And then Daniel Bryan goes out and says, no, I'm going to kick your head in.
And then
you're not trying to fuck this girl. You're fire. Trying to kick her head in.
And then fire comes.
My catchphrase.
And it's Kane and it's Team Hell No. Versus CM Punk, and the year is 2010.
and then all the memes on the internet of people going nuts for that, and people being like, well, when WWE did it, you didn't like it, and you're like, you know what, you're both annoying.
Yeah.
On both sides, you're both annoying.
I thought it would be funny if Britt Baker and Adam Cole eventually team up, and they have a gimmick where like he super kicks people's teeth out, and then she fixes them.
They have kind of an insurance scheme going
on. Yeah.
That's like the ultimate gaslight too. Like
where he's out there,
has his girlfriend fix you up. Like, no, everything's fine.
That's fine.
It's not.
And then it threads seeds for later. Where it's like, she botched my tooth.
Cole gives you a Shining Wizards, pins you, and he's like, yo, this is not personal. Like, it's like, let me point you right over to that table over there. And
here's
you're
a 15
for an appointment.
Yeah, here's a 15% off coupon.
Yeah, for Baker MD.
Friends and family.
$200 deductible.
Yeah. She's out of network, by the way.
We got Hikaru Shida puts a pole dancing to her theme song, which I...
Where is it?
It's on YouTube if you would like to watch Hikaru Shida while we're there. But listen, I was saying, I'm gonna see if Christina wants to come on the podcast because Christina pole dances. She's very good at it. And let's see, we can rank Hikaru Shida as a pole dancer on here from an actual
Wait, is like her in her like apartment?
No, she's kind of a cool studio. Here, we fill up the video up. Look.
Oh, I see.
She's kind of, it looks like she rented a single room studio.
I mean, it looks like she moved shit out of her. You know how I know it's not her apartment? Because she's a wrestler and it doesn't have carpeted floors. Wrestlers only live in apartments with carpeted floors.
What a hilarious observation. The mattress, it's just a mattress right on carpet.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. And there's a TV on like a stand next to the box that the TV came out of.
Yeah, wrestlers live like McConaughey in True Detective season one. You know, like.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Carpets half unpacked.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So, we mainly, if you, by the way, we talked about Dynamite a lot this week on the Dynamite episode because we're going to have to cut this episode a little short this week. Because not too long. Newman's got to run. I'm also here. It's my first day. I get to hang out with my mom, so I might take off a little early. All right, guys. I'm here in New York. All right. I spent 10 extra days in New York to get out of Quar so I can see my family. Anyway,
before we move on that note, I have to go.
You don't want to hear this last thing?
I would. It would kill me to hear this last thing. What is it?
You want to hear it?
No, I don't. But what is it?
Well, now I don't want to tell you. Okay, so we watched. We had a really good time. I wanted to talk about this. I was thinking about this.
Okay.
So we watched Cody go through. I just want to say straight up, I think Cody is a babyface. I love Cody, and I will not be booing Cody with the rest of the IWC.
Okay.
Okay? This is a cycle of abuse that we need to cut. We need to end. Okay. Where you do something so great that people turn against you, right? We don't need to pull the Dark Knight. Like, you either stay the hero, either die the hero, or live long enough to become the villain, right? We don't need this shit, right?
Right.
I'm a Cody guy. Now, that being said, Cody lit the table on fire, right? Or Brandy lit on fire. Then he did a kind of a Phoenix splash, or like kind of like a dragon suplex, right? Mm-hmm. Off the top rope. He lands his whole back onto the fire. Right. Andrade lands basically in a perfect somersault position. Right. And Cody's still on fire and gets a pin on Andrade. You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, we have to suspend our disbelief, I think, a little bit. The plan could not have been to put Andrade face first through a burning table. Like, that could not be it. So I think it went according to plan.
Yeah.
I'll
say I didn't care in the moment that it happened at all. I didn't care. I was like, that was awesome. And I thought it was really cool. We have the actual moment it happened. It was fucking awesome. But then I watched a replay and I was like, wow. Like Cody took all that impact and then pinned Andrade. Like Andrade went down with like no impact, you know? Right.
Yeah.
He might've got pinned just from a broken heart though.
That's true.
Because when I read it, was a one-sided. Charlie was
his corazon. His corazon.
Every article I read said it was not mutual.
Yo, the best part about it is all these dirt sheets that I was reading about their breakup were written by like emotionally stunted fifth graders. Like,
breakups percentage-wise do you think are mutual? Less than 0.1%. Like, what a fucking banal statement to make. This breakup was not mutual. Of course it wasn't. Breakups are frequently not mutual. Also, it's fake. It's a work.
According to Bodyslam.net, Charlotte Flair and Andrade have split up. This news comes after it was discovered that Andrade unfollowed the queen on social Instagram.
Social Instagram. What is this source?
I love these. I love these sheets because it's like the hard-hitting news guys of wrestling. It was reported that multiple sources have confirmed that Charlotte Flair and Andrade have split up. No further details about the split were provided. After speaking with multiple sources, I can confirm that the two are no longer together. Sources indicated that the breakup did not appear to be mutual and that it was Charlotte who ended the relationship. He was not given any details as to why.
Yeah.
It switched to. Okay.
I picture every one of these guys to just look like Vince Russo.
I was not given any details. Oh, I guess it was all in the eye. Okay.
I was not given any details because I didn't actually talk to anybody.
I was not given any details as to why the relationship came to an end. Only that the two are officially done as of a couple of weeks ago. It was once rumored that Charlotte Flair and Andrade were engaged to be married. That was not confirmed by either of them. It seems that they are no longer together. So the wedding would be off if that was the case. he's speculating that the wedding's off. Right. He's like, well, the relationship, like, it's like filler content. This is a bit of a surprising development because Flair and El Idolo, now he switched to El Idolo, were very close. Ric Flair also
liked. How the fuck does he know how close they were?
My friend El Idolo.
Yeah.
I don't know. No knock to this guy. It's just so funny. Like, can you, like, this is such a stretch the soup, you know, like add water to the soup. Like, this is a headline only. And like, someone's like, all right, well, you gotta
500 three.
Yeah. Give me three paragraphs on this breakup that you have no information about.
It was reported that sources had said that they had broken up.
Yes. Anyway, all right, Brock Lesnar's back. see, it's too low. I keep calling it too low.
Unbelievable. Goodbye.
All right, it's fine. We're going to get out of here anyway. We had a good time. Phil, did we have a good time?
We had a great time.
Can you work with the opening of this episode? Did I mess it up?
No, you got it.
Okay, good. I guess one thing I'm going to do while I have people here is I want to look at this day one pay-per-view and see what's on it, and then we'll get out of here. Because I think it's pretty cool. Oh my god, my internet is being a pain in the butt. It won't give me. I have a thing going on my computer where it's blocking websites. It says your connection's not private. So it's like, is someone hacking my computer, Phil? Hello?
You got some firewalls going on.
Okay, so here's what I was gonna say. I like that they have a pay-per-view. It's on January 1st. You know, WWE. And the match for the triple threat match, like, is Big E versus Rollins versus KO for the title. Like, that's a fire match, you know?
Yeah, that's like something I should care about, but still don't.
Yeah, that match I care a lot about. But that being said, it's Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the title again.
Yeah, it's like.
That being said, I think they know they have to book something cool with that finish. And then it's Usos versus New Day. So it's just like, you know, it's not fresh over there. And they're not really taking steps to make it more fresh. But that being said, a WWE pay-per-view on New Year's, that might be headed into Rumble season. You know, this might be what they need to get us back.
New Year? Oh, it's on Friday. Right.
They'll probably add Edge Miz to that. That'll be kind of dope. I mean, it's not a feud that I care that much about per se, but that's a match I'd watch. Two of the ultimate opportunists, you know, who's going to out-cheat each other, you know?
They should give AEW like a three-hour show on that Friday. Just go through the New Year's.
What day is it? Does it happen on a Friday?
Oh, wait, what are you talking? It's on a Friday. New Year's Eve. Or is it on New Year's Day?
No, it's January 1.
Oh, so it's on Saturday then.
Yeah, and then also I saw Rumble is on a Saturday also.
Yeah, they've been doing that lately. Wasn't SummerSlam on a Saturday?
Yeah, SummerSlam was a Saturday also. But yeah. I remember, so they're going more Saturday route, which I think is, I don't know. I like it. It's also tough because I do notice that a lot of people don't change their plans for a wrestling event. They're like going to watch it later. So yeah. There is actually a beauty to Sunday, I think, you know? Yeah,
for sure.
Because I've noticed that the times that we've been Saturday pay-per-view, I've been like, it's harder for me to watch. So
yeah,
I don't know. All right. Anyway, everybody, I'm going to get out of here, go hang out with my mom. But we'll do Patreon episode this week. We'll record it after. I'll record it after Dynamite. It might not be Dynamite. I'm going to have to talk to the gang here. That'll come out for Patreon. So patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Thanks for supporting the podcast, everybody. Live show probably going to be happening with Dolph. I'll have more details on that for Rumble. But so if you're thinking about going, something to think about, plan on going to our show. And I'm going to post whatever I got of the match, but I got such bad coverage but I have great stills, but don't have video, but it's fine. I'm still the champion. And everybody, hey, I love you. Keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers up.